Daddy is one of the best entrepreneurs, Rich. You better recognize you can take this trifocal thing to the next level with Puff Daddy's help.
Oh, if you could get the Diddy to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, the P-focal.
See, we got our next podcast, right? P-focal. Yeah.
Does Uncle Yo have any connections?
No.
Uncle Yo.
Absolutely not.
Ready when you guys are.
All right.
Are we not recording?
I don't know. Connor just left.
He's ready when we are. Literally, he says, ready when you are, and he walks straight out the room.
He's like, I'm good.
Ready when you are. Peace.
This show runs itself.
There we go. And welcome back to Even More Mashed Up. It's a podcast where two virile thinkers do virile things with pop culture. I'm thinking about your beard today.
Professor Hamilton. Yeah, I'm a little worried where that was going.
It's from the radio show yesterday. Remember, my beard makes me virile.
Did I say that?
I might have said that.
Okay,
about
I was going to say, I don't recall saying that.
Yeah, but he does think that about himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Alan.
And I am Patrick. And we have braved the frozen tundra.
The storm.
Of northeast Pennsylvania.
It is a true blizzard out there today.
To bring you our podcast. Let it never be said that we do not have dedication to our craft and audience.
Because it's not, as Richard, who's also here, pointed out, it's not just a blizzard. It's a blizzard with what the Weather Channel is saying will give us especially slippery snow.
Yes, it's a slippery index of 8.4.
Yep. Wow.
With the potential to go to
that's almost
9.
Unheard of.
Yes,
you
it
know?
Is. Yes.
Remember the winter of 94 when it hit a 10?
Oh,
man, that was a slippery winter.
I think in 94 I was in Oregon, so no.
It could have been in Oregon. Like,
no, we don't get snow in Oregon.
You realize it didn't really hit a 10 because the slippery index doesn't exist?
I know. I was
born in 1994.
Connor, let's lay some ground rules about things we do not say.
That's right.
Number one, we do not mention when we were born.
No, we do not make the virile old guys feel old.
When it's some 20 years after we might have been born.
23 next month.
26, not listening to the rules.
Who's counting? Yeah. So anyway, we should,
speaking of
before
the youth,
Scroy gets upset with us.
Yes, speaking of the youth.
Yes. Oh, nice transition.
Thank
Look
you.
At that. It's
Thank
like we
you.
Planned it. It's all scripted.
That's right.
Right up here.
It's not, but we're just that good.
We're that good. Well, we did the countdown. Now we're professional.
Yes.
You want to intro the show?
Sure. So today we're talking about the new hit CW series, Riverdale.
Is it technically a hit?
That's what the promo said. It said...
you can trust the promos.
Before the first episode showed, the teaser described it as critically acclaimed, which I'm like, it hasn't aired. How is it already critically acclaimed?
I must say that...
But it says critically acclaimed. So yes, we're talking Riverdale.
When the lead to the show literally said, the wait is over, I thought to myself, like, who's really waiting for this?
Oh, so many people.
Are they?
Yes. I don't know.
A little outside the Riverdale demographic.
Yes. Well, but as a rule of thumb, I tend to trust what my TV tells me.
That's true. I mean, I know this to be true.
Yeah. You and most of America.
Fair point. Whoa, now who's getting political, Richard?
Yeah.
You're all upset with Patrick getting political on the radio show. And
the TV never lies. People on the TV might.
That's a hard line to draw.
It is.
Hard line to draw.
Don't hurt my TV's feelings.
So here's the first question we're going to talk about Riverdale.
Yes.
We should really talk about Archie.
Yes.
Like, what did Archie mean to you when you were a kid?
For those people that don't know, Riverdale is the town that the Archie comics are set in. So this is sort of a 21st century CW-izing of the Archie universe.
I like CW-izing.
Yeah.
So is this Smallville, then, sort of?
That's probably somewhat of a comparison. Yeah. You know, maybe... I mean, Smallville was still relatively kind of faithful to... the general sort of Superman mythos.
It did have a superhero in it.
Yeah, so Riverdale might be pushing that a little bit further, but it's not terribly
Archie
different.
Does have superheroic abs.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that guy's ripped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't remember that.
But anyway, before Richard interrupted...
Yeah, that might be one of the variations from the comics.
Yeah.
Archie's rippedness.
Oh, is this different from the comics?
It's a tetch.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But before Richard kind of interrupted, you were talking about your relationship to Archie as a kid.
Yeah, didn't have one.
Me neither.
Not a big Archie fan.
We were talking about this when we were rifling through your notes before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you know anybody who actually read Archie?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Valerie, my sister.
Really?
Pretty sure I think she read. I have a bunch of Archie comics that are with kind of like the really crummy comics that she read, like the New Kids on the Block comic and things like that.
So she broke out of the like gender stereotyped box and didn't read Betty and Veronica.
No, we had a bunch. Yeah, we had Archie.
Archie.
We might have had some Betty and Veronica. I kind of just lump all of them together as Archie.
Yeah, fair.
Like,
yeah,
I mean, sure. they're all kind of, I mean, particularly when we were growing up, like, they're all the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's Betty and Veronica, whether it's Archie, whether it's Jughead, yeah. it's basically the same.
Yeah, I'm like you. I had no relationship with Archie whatsoever. Like, Archie's weird. Everybody knows Archie.
Right.
But nobody reads Archie.
Correct.
Like, how do you build a cultural icon that nobody reads but everybody knows?
Everybody knows,
There's kind of a magic to
there
Archie.
Is. That's kind of a certain skill.
Yeah.
I mean, people would probably be in an uproar if Archie were to go away.
Oh, there would definitely be
like
a big.
They wouldn't know why.
Nobody really cares that Archie is here.
There would be an executive order.
Yeah, make Archie great again. Well, that might be the question: is has Riverdale made Archie great again?
I want to talk about that. Like, I'm excited to talk about this because I don't care about Archie at all.
Yeah,
but no, I care about Riverdale.
I think the thing that always I didn't like Archie because like the stories never went anywhere. Like they were always kind of like they're. There was no, like, long narrative. They were all each just kind of their discrete little story that something silly happened in.
And so the characters kind of silly throwaways.
Yeah, very flat, not a lot of development. So.
That's changed recently.
Yeah. Yes.
Where they've tried to make Archie sort of more contemporary and kind of sort of a more sophisticated.
Yeah. Well, and it's important to note that's come under with Roberto Aguirre-Sacara, who's the Archie's chief creative officer, who's also the writer, director, and producer of Riverdale. Like, he's also the writer of The Afterlife with Archie Comics. Like,
he's a P. Diddy-esque entrepreneur, like
Would
you say, Connor, he's the P. Diddy of the Archie world?
He prefers Puff Daddy, but yes, he's definitely a Puff Daddy.
Oh, it's Puff Daddy now?
He's back to Puff Daddy.
Aguirre Sacasa. I don't think I said his name right.
I don't know who he is, so I will.
He started out as a comic book writer. He did a alternate reality or like a Marvel Knights Fantastic Four series was the first thing I remember him doing, and it got kind of very mixed reviews. But he's kind of slowly worked his way up, and now he's Archie. I think his title is Archie's Chief Creative Officer.
Can you imagine like that's your business card, Archie, Chief Creative Officer?
I'm sure he's getting paid a lot of money for that.
Hey, look who just wandered by the window.
I didn't see.
It was Colin.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
That's good. Someone, you know, who's part of the show.
Yep, showing up.
Showing
up. 9:22.
A good few minutes in.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Somebody's not going to know us today.
Yeah.
No. All right, so talking about how, having established how little we really cared.
Exactly.
For Archie.
Yes.
Back in the day. Maybe we should talk about Riverdale then.
Yes.
Because as I suggested, oh boy, there goes Stoppy.
Well, it's the one thing that's going to show movement.
Yeah. The idea that Richard is shooting with a stop-motion camera right now.
A completely inert object.
Is hard to fully understand.
Yeah. Maybe there's some lights that flash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my life. I'm very hard to understand. Mainly because people try not to understand me.
Yeah, back to Archie and Riverdale.
Yeah. So let's talk about the characters.
Yes.
Some of whom are easier to understand than Richard.
Yes.
I would argue. Now, can I say, you know my position on Easter eggs.
Yes, you hate them.
I hate Easter eggs. They're stupid.
Yes. So I love them.
I'm immediately disappointed when the show opens
and
the camera kind of pans over Riverdale.
Right.
And you see a comic shop. Oh, Archie was once a comic.
Yes.
Right? And then you see the Riverdale sign,
mm-hmm.
a town with pep. Oh, Archie was in Pep Comics. If it's going to be an hour of this, I'm done.
Yeah.
Don't need it. Not interested in the Easter egg.
See, what helps is due to my complete lack of having read Archie, didn't catch any of that.
Wait, I caught Easter eggs.
You caught Easter eggs, yes.
Somebody mark this date. It never happens.
January 31st.
How did you catch the Easter eggs if you've never read the comics? Did you actually do research before the show?
No.
I can guarantee you he did not do research before the show. That is not his modus operandi.
It's not really the way I operate.
Yeah.
That's
not his milieu.
I'm like a college student writing papers. I like to shoot from the hip. I don't want to do actual thinking about it. Like, I just want to dive right in. Uh-oh, I think I alienated her.
Yeah, I think our college students in the room are not happy about that.
Unhappy with that broad generalization.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, no, I often say I'm like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. I like to fly by the seat of my pants. So I see what you're going with.
There you go.
You realize that has a completely different meaning in Pretty Woman?
It's the
flying by the seat of your pants in Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
It means something for different.
Hookers. Yeah. It takes a different connotation.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that Connor is literally modeling his academic career
after Julia Roberts
on a call girl.
Yeah.
Because that seems like the model.
That's a good plan.
Yeah. So anyway, after the Easter eggs, I actually thought it got more interesting than I thought it might be.
Okay.
But let's talk. We thought we'd start with characters.
Yes, the characters.
Do you want to go in the order of appearance?
Well, I was thinking we could start with, like, which character seems the most changed from what little we know.
Oh, jeez, that's way more thinking than I did.
Oh, okay.
But go. Who do you think was the most changed?
Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah, the most obvious choice.
We could have talked about this before the show.
I'm pretty sure I mentioned it to you yesterday when we were walking back from the radio show.
Although now that I think about it, there's a chance you did.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure you did say, hey, one of the things we might talk about is which of the characters is most changed. Oh, that's a good idea.
Good luck with that. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah. You mean the thing that we had planned to do.
So what do you got? We just talked about the things we planned to do. This is not on the list, but go.
It was on the list, because your list of what we're doing was, we'll talk about characters.
Alan, quick, look it up on your phone.
Which I'm pretty sure which one has changed the most.
Would you talk about who changed the most?
Okay, well, obviously Miss Grundy.
Sure. Oh, we talked about Miss Grundy specifically. Yeah.
Oh, good, it's coming back to you now.
Yes, it is slowly coming back to me. Well, the radio show was so good yesterday. The mashup, which is cougarradio.net, 2 to
Mondays.
3 on Mondays.
Yep.
It was brilliant. Yeah, Eastern. Well, fair. It's clearly Miss Grundy.
Yes.
Who is... unrecognizable?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
From the comic book where she's a really, really old, withered lady.
Yes.
To the TV show where she's sort of this young, hot
teacher.
Really unethical teacher.
Slightly unethical, yes.
Slightly unethical.
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line between
how do you teach your class?
Yeah. How many students does she have to sleep with to be totally unethical?
See,
I
was going for the comic understatement.
Oh, it was not your teaching philosophy.
Right.
It was the comic understatement.
It was comic understatement saying slightly.
Given that this is coming, you know, from Ms. Recorded University, it's probably worth saying.
Yeah, comic understatement.
Yeah.
Which clearly went over well.
Yes.
Big hit, sir.
Yes.
Indeed.
Slightly. Is that better?
That's good.
Did I communicate the comic understatement?
Yeah. Like, Ms. Grundy, yeah. Very changed.
Very changed, yes.
Agreed.
Now, the other one
but
that
we don't
I was...
really know anything else about her, right?
No, we know
except
nothing else about her.
Except that she is unethical.
Except that she's,
and
yeah.
smoking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other one that seemed really changed to me was Veronica.
I think Veronica definitely is on
like
the
she,
list of,
like she,
the most
changed. I mean, because in the comics, she was always, like, the meaner of the two.
Right.
Between Betty and Veronica. She was not she was not a nice person at all in the comics.
No.
And here...
Which you didn't read, but you know.
Right. Well, I know enough, you know, Betty
Wikipedia.
And Veronica.
Yeah.
But yeah, like she seems much more muted, I guess I would say, as a character. Like, it seems like a lot of her characterization is now Cheryl Blossom's characterization.
Well, I would kind of disagree that she's muted. I think she's actually more interesting than the comic book Veronica, who was, like, very kind of one note.
Right.
Like, Veronica is kind of more interesting, I think,
mm-hmm.
because she's got this really interesting kind of relationship with Betty.
Yes.
Right? Which isn't kind of like the comic book, which was more sort of competitive.
Right.
Are you too busy texting to participate in the show?
No, I'm fine. Just my phone
is buzzing. I just want to be sure, because like, you're clearly kind of distracted.
My phone, no, I just text during the show? Hang on.
Hey, why don't I just put that on Do Not Disturb? There we go.
Yeah, that's...
We're good now.
That's great. It really helps the flow of the conversation when you're literally looking at your phone as it buzzes.
Like, you keep looking at your phone to see what time we're at?
I'm just paying attention to the time.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to keep us on the road to... Mm-hmm. To 50 minutes. I kind of like Veronica. Like, I think she's more complicated.
Yeah.
She's not perfect. She wants to be better. And I read one review that said Veronica would her first choice is Betty,
mm-hmm.
not Archie.
Yeah.
Which I think is like actually kind of a really interesting and potentially empowering kind of twist.
Yeah, I read an article that kind of talked about kind of the way in which that we have, particularly compared to the earlier comics, that the relationship between Betty and Veronica is much more empowering, sort of much more of a feminist relationship
and so
than what you've got in the comics where they were always fighting with each other over Archie.
Over a boy, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got instead sisterhood where her loyalty is primarily – like she might be sexually attracted to Archie.
Right.
Well, because who isn't? Like the guy's ripped.
Mm-hmm.
But Betty is more important.
Right.
Right? So she slips. She's not perfect.
Right.
But she does seem to actually kind of – prioritize Betty. She gets her onto the River Vixen. Mm-hmm. She pushes her to ask out Archie.
Right.
Like she's it does feel different to me.
Right.
So I actually at first I didn't like Veronica, but mm-hmm. like the character kind of grew on me a little bit.
Well,
I think
at first
there's
when
potential there.
When she first shows up, you know, you see her with her mom, they're moving into the Pembroke building, which apparently Pembroke was like a private girls' school in the Archie universe.
That's right. And Smithers apparently was, I'm guessing, the butler.
I don't know.
In the original.
But
Smithers is a very kind of butlerish
butlery name. Well, sidekicky name or assistant-y name.
Yeah, I think Smithers was originally a butler and then got kind of transformed a bit in The Simpsons. Yeah, into like more of a sidekicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but even when, Smithers in The Simpsons kind of
when butler. Veronica yeah. first shows up, yes. you know, coming from New York and wealthy, like, and you see her, you know, she goes into the diner with that cape.
Right.
You're expecting even when she first interacts with Archie and Betty, yeah. you're expecting comic book Veronica.
Right.
And then it seems kind of over the course of the show, she seems to veer more and more from that.
Right, which I think, and maybe it's because you've got this sort of stereotypical image of who Veronica right. is, made her seem one of the more human characters on the show to me. Maybe yeah. because maybe that contrast
yeah.
kind of plays, although it didn't work that way for Miss Grundy.
No.
For me. She did not feel more human.
No.
It was such a jarring transition. She kind of went from stereotype to stereotype.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Veronica stopped somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's definitely, I mean, Veronica is a much more, like you said, much more complex than her comic book incarnation.
Yeah. So
who is mean and wants Archie, which I think basically describes her comic book character.
I think that's the entire synopsis.
And Betty is nice and wants Archie.
That's right. Brunette and blonde.
Yeah.
That's how the world works.
So.
Yeah. So you're a little down on Veronica? You seem to be warming to her as we talk about
it. No, I do.
I thought she was one of the more interesting characters.
Yeah. My concern is whether or not the arc over the course of the series is going to be to turn Betty and Veronica against each other.
Yeah. I want to talk about that in a minute, but we'll kind of come back to that maybe. Yeah. So if we're talking about Veronica, then we should talk about
Betty.
Betty, who of course shows up in the first scene. Mm-hmm. Wearing just a bra.
Yes. Well, because of course
that's
she's
Betty.
That's what Betty you do when you have Archie, your gay best friend in the room.
That's, well, exactly.
You know.
I assume that's what girls do with their gay best friend in the room. Yeah. Is that they strip down and talk about boys.
Yeah.
And ogle Archie out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. We should, the Kevin Keller character, I'm not sure is the most fully realized.
Oh, you don't think so?
Character. No.
No. In my notes as I was watching the show, I kept writing, oh, he's gay. Like, there was this kind of beating you over the head.
Kind of like the Black Canary, White Canary, sorry.
Right.
In Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, right. Legends has gone through, like, the stretch where, like, every 15 minutes we need to talk about, you know, her and girls.
Yeah, which is interesting.
And it was the same with Kevin here. I just felt like it was...
It would have been nice if they could have done for him what they did for Veronica.
Right.
Because it actually seems like, in some ways, whereas Veronica seems to have progressed from her comic book incarnation. Like everything I've heard, which isn't a lot, about the Kevin Keller in the Archie comics is that he's a very sort of positive and human representation.
Right.
It feels like in the show he's gone more towards what we would expect in like an Archie comic.
I completely agree that he is, I think, one of the weaker characters.
Yeah.
In a like an 80s multiculturalism kind of way.
Yes.
Right? That like, oh, we have a gay character, so this is kind of like...
So everything about him has to sort of signal, you know, his sexual identity.
But that constant signaling shows that we're okay with it.
Right.
And thus, like, this is progressive, multicultural kind of stuff.
But not really.
I don't think it is.
Because he is basically a very sort of... I mean, he's probably, in some ways, the flattest of the characters.
Yeah,
In that he's very one-note as well.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Like, he is totally defined by his sexuality. Yes. And, like, nothing else.
Right.
Like,
there's nothing else.
Everything that revolves around him.
And he's friends with Betty. Like, those are the two things I know about him.
Just about his sexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, back to Betty.
Yes.
I also found her a little underdeveloped.
Okay.
Like, I get the goody two-shoes thing.
Sure.
And the high-pressure parent.
Yes.
I think there's some work to be done with Betty.
Well, there's some aspects of her that don't really make sense.
Okay.
Because, for example, she joins the cheerleading squad.
Yes.
Because she needs extracurriculars for college.
Right. She wants to build more extracurriculars for college.
She just got done working in New York, working for some literary publisher.
Hanging out with Toni Morrison.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm pretty sure the cheerleading is not going to put you over the top once you have that.
Can you imagine, like, the college admissions committee?
I'm like,
you know, she worked for a summer with Toni Morrison.
But she didn't cheerlead.
Like, I'm not sure that... Oh, she was a cheerleader.
Oh, she is it. Good. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, because you know what? Yeah. That's clear. You know, that summer you spent throwing literary parties and getting banal advice from Toni Morrison,
that's not going to get you
anywhere.
That's
not going to get you over the top. You really need to be a cheerleader.
Oh, no, not a cheerleader. She was a river vixen.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. She was a river vixen?
That's the cheerleading team.
The cheerleading team.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was like an extra special cheerleading
team. No, that is what their cheerleading team is. So that was one that I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I hope Connor and Colin aren't feeling sort of inadequate now. They're like, oh my God, like we're not cheerleaders and we haven't hung out
and
with
we
Tony
haven't
Morrison.
Hung out with Tony Morrison.
What kind of jobs are we going to get?
I was actually just thinking about joining the squad now.
They have.
If it gets, I don't have very many extracurriculars.
Yeah, you know what?
Totally think about it. Yep.
They've got one thing in their pocket.
What's that?
They're on the podcast.
Which might be actually better than hanging out with Tony Morrison for a summer.
I'm not going to say that. Number one, because if Asia ever listens to this conversation, she will kill me.
Yeah. Right, so the guy who just said that sleeping with students was only slightly unethical.
Comic
is
understatement.
Now drawing the line.
Comic understatement.
Of the year.
You don't even understand me. So, but yeah, no, Betty is somewhat, you know, towards the Kevin Keller side of the spectrum in that she's a little bit flat of a character.
They've tried to kind of give her some background, like to kind of like present a twist on her sort of perfectionism.
Right.
But it doesn't feel particularly creative to me.
Well, and it's all like it's the pressure from – like it's all kind of external stuff.
Yeah.
With her, like internally, she's still a bit of a cipher on the show.
Right.
Except that she loves Archie and Archie doesn't love her.
And she hangs out with her gay friend without a shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which is a very CW kind of thing.
Oh, it totally is.
How can we get Iris out of her shirt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we haven't actually talked about, you know, Archie.
He's next on my list, actually, of characters to talk about.
We should probably talk about him then.
There's like some hangover from the comics, right, in terms of his all-American kidness.
Yes.
But he's also very different.
Oh, yeah. He's totally different.
In terms of like the conflict that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. He's a musician.
How do you feel about Archie the musician, like the frustrated musician?
It's interesting.
That doesn't sound like a really convincing interesting.
No. Well, it feels very much, you know, something like what a 15-year-old would do. You know, kind of sort of being dissatisfied with sort of the working class, you know, job with his father and sort of wanting to do something more and be something greater.
Usually he'd just be the football player, though, like a sophomore on the varsity.
Well,
like
he is everything.
But here we kind
he
of
He is
add...
the football player and the musician and, of course, the school heartthrob.
And the guy who betted the teacher.
Yes.
In an only slightly unethical twist to the story.
You're just not going to let that out of your teeth anytime soon.
Hashtag slightly unethical.
Yeah, that was something that moved very quickly.
Hashtag slightly unethical.
Like you saw
else is on your slightly unethical list? I'm just curious. Yeah,
not, where does murder
not going there. Not going there.
Is that most unethical?
So, like, you get the scene of her driving by, and she's got, the Lolita glasses on, and she's like, Archie, do you need a ride? I'm like, oh, this is going somewhere. And then, like, 2 seconds later, we moved that quickly.
Yes,
there was no real pause. You know, she sees Archie, like, semi-shirtless. And
next thing you know, back of the car.
VW Bug.
Yep, and then they're on the river when what's-his-name gets shot.
Yes.
Jason.
Jason Blossom.
Oh, spoiler alert. Jason Blossom does not make it out of episode one.
No.
Was he a big deal in the comics? Was like that?
You're asking more than I know.
Yeah. Oh, did you want some background on Jason and Cheryl Blossom?
No, we do not.
Why don't we wait till we get to them? Do you have anything else to say about Archie?
Not really.
Ripped.
He's very much again another thing that's very sort of CW and very teen drama, and not just Archie, but all the characters, but Archie most in particular.
Yeah,
they are supposed to be sophomores. They are supposed to be 15 or 16.
Yeah.
None of them look 15 or 16.
This is on my list of
like Archie
next on the
looks
show, the,
like much older.
Yeah, the next category we're covering is really. And I'm like, this is – it's kind of classic Hollywood that you cast people much older to play.
Because
like 15-year-olds are not particularly interesting. And maybe it gets creepy.
Yes, considering
when you watch the 15-year-old with the teacher.
Yeah. No,
But if you turn – if Archie's really like 28 –
right.
Playing 15, I think it makes us more comfortable.
So what you're saying is that it's less creepy if the kid looks older than he is if you have sex with him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm comfortable with that since you're talking about slightly unethical
sex. So you're saying
that's teachers.
So that's not as creepy. I still feel as creepy.
I still feel like I've got the high moral ground.
No. I think I've drug you down to where I am.
Sex with teachers, slightly unethical. Uh-huh. That's worse.
Yeah. Sex with teachers okay if you look older.
No, that's not what I said.
That's totally what
on
you said.
On TV.
Oh, yeah.
On TV.
Yeah. How come it's I don't get the on TV qualification?
Because you didn't say it.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I clearly made it.
Implied.
We were talking about this.
It was not.
It was implied.
It's ridiculous. Slightly unethical. So the next character who shows up is Dylan.
Yes. Yes,
I can't
Archie's
remember his
dad.
Real name.
Yeah. Luke Perry is his actual name.
I'm going to.
Who, by the way, is 50 and yeah. looks fantastic for 50.
Like, he looks fantastic for 50.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I hope I look that good when I'm 50.
I look way better than that dude.
You're not 50.
He looks old.
No, Dylan, Luke looked good.
Anyway, I'm not going to call him Fred Andrews. I'm going to call him Old Man Dylan, like Old Man Logan, but yeah. he's now Old Man Dylan.
I gotcha.
This is what Dylan. This is what happens to 90210
yeah,
Dylan.
Is that what it is?
Man, his life. Woo,
yeah,
like,
you know,
downhill.
After his 20s, he found himself in a small
hanging
town.
Out with Shannon Doherty and Amber. What's her name?
Amber. What's her name?
From Saved by the Bell, who then, like, transferred over.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
There you go. Amber. Okay. Her name was Amber somewhere. And
there was an Amber in there
that's
somewhere.
That's right. So,
yes.
Anyway, Old Man Dylan?
Yeah.
He's weepy. Like, Young Man Dylan had edge. Like, he was angry at the world, and
yes.
he was taking everybody on. Like, Old Man Dylan, like, he's practically weeping.
That's
he's
what happens
crying
when you, that's
through
what,
all these scenes.
That's what happens when you hit a certain age.
Yeah?
You get a little weepy.
Well, you're younger than me. I've not hit that stage yet. How long have you been weeping?
I wasn't saying that either of us were at that age.
It felt like you were kind of self-disclosing that.
Well, someone is perhaps projecting and, you know, feeling things that they feel.
So that kind of defensive
that
barricade
right now,
that you're
yes.
throwing up is your way of
I
saying you go
up.
Home
you
and cry every night.
You throw it up. Well, I do.
You should not
hey,
be crying.
Hey,
you should not cry. Your
hey,
life is fine.
I don't cry. I go home and build
you
Legos.
His life is terrible.
No, you play with Legos.
Sorrow. No, I build them.
He constructs Legos.
He plays with Legos. Anyway, Old Man Dylan, I got nothing except he's not. I guess he can act a little bit because character's different from Dylan.
Yes.
Very
yes.
weepy.
So.
Very weepy. That's all I got.
Yeah.
You got anything else on Old Man Dylan?
Not really, except, you know, Luke Perry, well preserved.
I'd say only slightly well preserved.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good.
All right. Well, maybe it's because like he's got a beard kind of like yours.
Did he have a beard?
And he's thinning a little bit like you are.
Did he have a beard?
You like Old Man Dylan because you see yourself in Old Man Dylan.
I wish.
He hopes he could be Old Man Dylan.
Yeah. You aspire to be Old
Man I wish I saw myself in Old Man Dylan.
Who do you see yourself in? Like
from the Archie universe?
I was going to say Wilford Brimley.
That's not cool, man. It's not cool.
Nobody listening to the podcast will know who Wilford
yeah, no,
Brimley
yeah,
is.
Wilford Brimley, Mr. Diabetes?
Oh, that's right. He later came on.
Diabetes.
Yeah. Anyway, how about, if you want to talk about creepy, Jughead.
Oh, you mean the narrator?
Yeah, that kid is creepy.
Writing his novel?
Yeah, he's creepy, right?
Well, yeah. Well, then clearly he and Archie have like some
hidden
past falling
yeah.
out. Yeah.
yeah.
You know, and, yeah. and when he said, he's like, I would have, well, he said something like, I would have been there for you or something like that. I'm like,
just talk to her, man.
Yeah.
Would have worked with
now,
me.
Now, did you
recognize, yeah,
I know
awful.
You're a big Disney Channel fan.
Yeah. It's,
did you recognize?
It's the Sprouse twins. Well,
it's
one of
them.
The Sprouse twins. Yeah. It's like Zach and Cody on deck. It's
yes.
the Sweet Life.
Yes. It's. I believe
absolutely.
It's specifically the guy that played Cody.
That guy's not grown up well. He was kind of adorable as a little kid.
Really?
Now he's like, oh. He's creepy.
Wow, you are hard on the people
he's
on Riverdale.
Would you not say he's creepy?
Well, yeah, but I don't think it has anything to do with his appearance.
Listen, it's supposed to be kind of romantic on television, but the kid who comes to school and like is always creeping around the sides, like writing.
He's writing his novel.
Oh, that kid. Oh, that kid's going to do something bad eventually.
About everyone.
Yeah.
Around him.
Yeah.
yeah.
All the people he's stalking, you know?
Nah, right,
he's really
exactly.
just probably
it's not
stalking
right.
Archie.
It's not right.
Yeah. So we didn't get a lot of Jughead.
Maybe you don't think stalking's bad. Is that on your slightly unethical
oh,
list?
Oh, Jesus.
Is that higher or lower?
It's like higher or lower than sleeping with a teacher. Like, just kind of curious.
Please stop.
I like that you can't make a decision. Like, because it should be clear, stalking is not as bad.
I
but for you, you're like, it's hard to say.
I just refuse to play your game. Okay?
The game
I refuse to play your game.
Thank you, Richard.
I do not
the game
deign.
Is over.
Yeah.
I do not
deign. The only winning move is not to play.
Game, set, and
so,
match.
We didn't get a lot of Jughead.
We didn't, and
he
I was
seems
okay
very,
with that.
He seems very different from the comic.
Now, Sprouse wants him to be asexual.
Well, because I think they made Jughead asexual in the comics.
In the comics, he is, yeah. And so I guess that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not sure, like, again, I'm worried that it's basically going to be him like Kevin Keller declaring,
right.
I'm asexual. No,
yes.
I'm not interested in you.
Yeah.
Or you. You know, that it's going to be, you know,
yeah.
that kind of subtle.
There's
so.
A chance that the CW does not always generate subtlety.
No. No. Except on Legends of Tomorrow.
No, not there either. Not feeling it there.
Yeah.
So any other characters we're talking about?
Well, we haven't talked about the Blossom Twins.
Oh, the Blossom Twins.
Yes.
I think Cheryl Blossom has great potential.
Yeah.
I look at her. She's a little flat right now.
Yeah, she's
but I look
kind
at
of a caricature.
And if the show does it right, She could be Sydney.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's got the red hair.
Well, not just the red hair, though. Like, she's got, like, the Sydney attitude. Like, she could be, and you know how much I love Melrose.
I know.
If she could be, if she could achieve 80% of Melrose Sydney.
Yeah.
Ah. I
what's
think
the name of the one that went crazy and had the head shaved?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. I feel like Betty has the potential to be the Kimberly with the Adderall addiction.
Wow.
Like, I feel Betty is.
Man, that's taking Betty in a very dark direction.
I think Betty
direction.
Has the potential to spin off into craziness.
Does that make Archie like Michael?
Or the Andrew Shue character.
You think he's going to be that unimportant? If he's the
possibly.
Andrew Shue character, it means Archie will not matter.
Well,
Andrew Shue, Billy
kind of,
never mattered
he's
on Melrose.
He's a little bland.
Place. I can't believe I have you talking Melrose Place.
I know.
I am. This is like a great accomplishment.
I'm
for
twice
me.
As bored.
Yeah.
And yet he comes back every week.
Yeah. So did you want some background on the Blossom Twins?
Sure. You know, Jason's dead.
Yes.
Well, you've done research. You
I
clearly
did.
Want to share it.
Well, because Cheryl debuted in the Archie comics in 1982.
Oh, boy. Now I'm getting bored.
But she only lasted 2 years before disappearing along with
her
brother.
She was too sexual, right?
Deemed too sexy.
Yep.
They also were, it seemed like the opening sequence on the show was kind of playing up like a creepy incest vibe.
It kind of Games of Thronesy.
Yeah, well, also apparently that's something that's in the Afterlife with Archie series.
Really?
That's, yeah, that for those that don't know, Afterlife with Archie is sort of a series where it's Archie kind of meets the zombie apocalypse.
Totally makes sense.
Again, written by Aguirre Sacasa. And so, like, there's a point where Jason. I guess he says something that, you know, to Archie that all he wants to do is spend the rest of his life and grow old with Cheryl. I'm pretty sure she ends
up.
It's
just twins being buddies.
I'm pretty sure she ends up killing him. But there's clearly sort of a perhaps even less than implied kind of incestual
really?
Relationship between them in the comics. So.
Also slightly unethical, I assume you
oh, yeah.
would argue.
That's
oh, you're
very unethical.
Very unethical.
Okay, so that's below now, sleeping.
Now we're starting to build a scale.
I wasn't
going to
play the game, and now I'm playing the game.
Yeah. Played right into that.
Yeah, it's so easy.
But yeah, so that is all I know about the
yeah.
Blossom.
So I have hope for Cheryl that
yeah.
she could grow into kind of that Melrose-y villain.
Yeah, well.
But she's got some growing to do.
Yeah, I mean, she's either going to do that or they're going to give her some kind of, like, depth. But right now she's very much kind of the flat, mean girl.
Right, absolutely. And Jason we don't need to talk about much because he's a corpse.
Yes, yeah. yes.
Doesn't
flat
mean
in a different way.
He could still come back. Could be the first
if
zombie.
They're doing the Afterlife.
Well, they could. I mean, yeah. You know, at some point, if the ratings on Riverdale are not good, which, by the way, I might have looked at the ratings on Riverdale.
How'd they do, by the way?
Dead last in its time slot.
No, you're
yeah.
kidding.
Oh, like yeah, Riverdale. It had less than half the viewers of the next show up.
Which was?
Chicago Med.
Ooh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
oh,
Chicago
man.
Med got 3.98 million. Archie got 1.37.
Now, does the CW,
no,
oh, though,
it's not
have...
almost half.
Yeah, its debut was similar to both... No Tomorrow and Frequency, which are new shows on the CW, both yeah. of which are probably going to be canceled. So, not good for Riverdale.
I hope
Riverdale.
They give it some time to breathe.
Yeah. So, not a good debut for
the
Riverdale.
Well, there are a couple of things as we kind of move on that made me say, really?
Yes.
One of which was the dialogue, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Oh, the dialogue.
Because I think, like, number one, they want Riverdale to be like a classic American small town, right?
In theory.
But did you see, like, the hotel room? Or the condo, like whatever it is they're staying at.
The Pembroke?
You don't find that in small town America.
No, you don't. I did like the...
All these kids live in incredibly, like, ritzy, impeccable homes.
Well, we haven't seen a lot of, like, Betty and
well, Betty and Archie
Archie's
live
home.
Right next door to each other, and he comes to her house right after...
Yeah, but we don't really see, like, the size of the interior.
Yeah.
Like, you're right there.
They're
I mean, you know,
nice. It's
when Veronica
nice.
And her mom, Hermione, are moving in, she's like, well, it's kind of small. And then it's just this complete, like,
yeah.
massive...
This does not exist in Canal Fulton, Ohio.
Yeah, no. No.
I'm
so,
just saying.
Yeah. So apparently Riverdale, you know, you've got Pop's Chocolate Shop, you've got the comic book store, and you've got the Ritz-Carlton. Because that's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, exactly. In that way, though, like as you put it that way, it sounds very comic booky.
It is.
You know, Archie kind of lives side by side, like middle class with the wealthy.
Yeah.
Creepiest moment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
When Josie and the Pussycats do the cover that they never do covers of.
Of Cyndi Lauper's All Through the Night.
Because it was the song to which the Blossom Twins were conceived.
Yes.
And the dance is honoring dead Jason.
Yeah.
So, Richard, I want you to let that one roll around in your head
okay,
for a minute.
So, hang on.
They say Josie and the Pussycats don't usually do covers, but they're going to do a special cover at the dance honoring the dead boy,
Well, the dance that was, they feared, going to be canceled because of the death of Jason Blossom.
Right.
But Cheryl said Jason would not want that to happen at a school assembly.
So there's a...
Because that is what you have school assemblies
There's a
for.
Dance, and there's huge pictures.
It's like the start
Jason,
of the year dance or something
like
that.
All over the place.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And...
So it's become the honor
it's
Jason
It's honoring
dance.
The dead kid dance.
Yes.
Fair enough. But...
I hope they didn't name it that.
Well, it's a CW. They might have. So... The band then says, we never play covers, but we're going to play one because it was the song that was played when the dead boy and his twin sister were conceived by their parents.
Yep.
And it's announced to the entire student body.
Yeah.
I felt like that was kind of creepy. This didn't strike you?
Oh, no, it did.
Like, okay. Because you seemed surprised by it.
I know, I'm just
like, that.
Yeah. I mean, there were other, like, I mean, everything with the Blossom twins was kind of creepy. Like the boat ride at the beginning,
right.
Like their matching white
this
outfits.
This is a different level of
this,
creepy.
Like there was a lot of creepy. But yeah, that was, I'm like, seriously, this is what we
That's
announced.
A different level of creepy.
One could say it was almost slightly unethical.
No. Yeah.
No.
Not at all. No?
No. Honoring the moment twins are conceived with
you're
musical
all,
covers,
you're
that's fine.
You're all Jason Blossom to me.
Oh, wow.
So is that good? Because
Jason Blossom does end up with a bullet in the head, so you should be careful now. We should be treading carefully.
You should be.
So, and then there was the scene where the Betty and Veronica make out.
Yeah, that was
to try to make the cheerleading.
That
squad.
That was so random.
Yeah, and I
like I assumed when that happened, I'm like, okay, so this is a dream
squad?
Sequence.
Yeah, like it went poorly, and so
they
need to do something edgy. So Veronica pulls Betty in
and kisses,
gives
her
a big kiss.
Because you know that's what you do in your high school cheerleading routines.
Yeah. I did like that. There was this ironic kind of nod afterwards when Cheryl said, "Come on, lesbian kissing hasn't been taboo since 1994."
Yeah, but then
whatever.
But also the show then did it.
Right. No.
Too. I'm like
right. So it's. Yeah. But that's the moment. There's that moment where they're acknowledging that it's like it's forced, but they're like embracing it at the same time.
Yeah.
There was that was the moment when I wrote, like, it feels forced.
Right.
The show has to choose. Like, if it's going to succeed.
Yes.
It has to choose what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to Greg Berlanti.
Yes.
Go full Melrose.
Yes.
They're going to have to either lean into that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to have to make it a straight drama.
And a straight drama is not going to work.
They can't do both, right? Like, you can't be edgy and straight and serious and absurd. Like it's a mix that's not working.
Right.
So I'm really hopeful they'll lean into that full
Melrose. If they try to
manage it, it could be great.
If they try to do that mix, you know what they're going to end up being.
What's that?
Gotham.
Right. That's
there's
Archie's going to become a bounty hunter?
The fire. Oh my God, I can so picture that.
I'm a quarterback
and
an artist.
He's actually the one
in a bounty.
That's
the one thing he's lacking.
The Penguin.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. No, but you're right. You're right. Like
they've
got to figure out what the identity of the show is.
Right.
And to me, I watch it, and you know how much I love Melrose.
Yes.
I want that magic recaptured.
It's still very season one-ish of Melrose.
Right. Right. And so the question is, will it grow and evolve into Melrose, or will it become Gotham or like a more straight kind of drama?
Right.
That frankly isn't going to be worth watching.
No.
For my money, Riverdale only works if they're willing to make it the absurd.
Well, the issue in particular for the CW is that, you know, the CW, when it was originally created, like, they kind of made their name with kind of your teen dramas like Gossip Girl and Vampire Diaries and things like that. Like, this is one of their this was their staple.
Right.
And then, you know, that kind of passed its prime, and they've moved into the superhero shows.
Right.
And now, you know, Riverdale in some ways is a blend of both because it's the teen drama, but it's based on the comics. So it's kind of blending both.
But Berlanti did Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
And then he's done work on all the CW superhero shows.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like, this felt very much like the superhero shows, which have always felt like Green Arrow or Arrow at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Was when it got most Melrosey, like when it was really soapy. And
see,
it,
you
to
like
me, it was like
three.
The Ra's al Ghul. And
yeah,
the
season
death
two
of
was
Ollie.
Better than season three.
I might have missed season two.
Season two was much better.
But my point is, like, to me, that was the high point.
Yeah.
And the problem that you learned with Melrose is you can't sustain that too long.
Right.
There's only so long you can hit that peak parody.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, I hope they go there. I'd rather have two brilliant years.
Right.
of like teen heartthrob parody
mm-hmm.
than like a 5-year run where right. Arrow feels like it's just going through the paces right
well,
now.
Well, I think that's some of my disappointment from watching Riverdale
yeah.
was because like all of the pre-press was all, oh, it's so like Twin Peaks. And I'm like, I watched it. I'm like, there is nothing like Twin Peaks.
That was one of the fair foul I have. Was like
this is not weird. It's not weird at all.
It's like, not. It's
like... The weirdness seems to be that, like, ooh, look what we're doing with Archie, and that's as far as it goes. Yeah, I'm like, that's not enough.
The only Twin Peaksy thing is you've got like a small town murder mystery,
yeah.
kind of thing going on, which doesn't feel Twin Peaksy to me. Like
no.
that feels fairly cliche. Like that's
exactly.
been done a lot.
Yeah, well, it's
so the idea that this is Twin Peaks
right.
is mind boggling.
Well,
to me.
That's
like,
one
it's
of the things.
Not Twin Peaks,
right.
At all.
No, but it is many, many other things in
right.
the sense that you can kind of see in Riverdale. Kind of all of the elements of the teen dramas that have existed beforehand. Because you've got,
Agreed.
You know, Jughead and his narration is basically Gossip Girl. You know, the murder mystery is basically Pretty Little Liars, which Berlanti has said they're largely doing Riverdale because kind of the established teen dramas like Pretty Little Liars and Vampire Diaries yep. and Teen Wolf are all ending this year.
They're playing out, right?
And so he's yeah. like, we want to fill that niche.
Right. Nobody but, else wants filled.
Yeah.
But to me... Again, it feels very much like Arrow. It
yeah.
feels like Flash. It
right.
feels like all the stuff Berlanti does, which
yeah.
is what he does.
Yeah.
When it works, it's really good.
Right.
When it doesn't, you know, it's Legends of Tomorrow.
Right. Well, and my concern is that Riverdale, I mean, you can see in having Luke Perry, like it's gesturing back to 90210.
Right. I got no complaints with
the
that.
Actress that's playing Betty's mom was on Twin Peaks. Like, it's all of these references to,
yeah.
like, other teen dramas, but when you kind of tear that away,
yeah.
I'm not sure what's left.
Right.
Like, I'm worried that you know, is there, you know,
you can,
enough an identity beyond, hey, look what we're doing with Archie, and hey, look at all of our references to these shows.
You can almost be too self-aware.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much self-awareness built
right.
into the show that after a while it becomes
yeah.
about the self-awareness.
Right.
As opposed to the show.
Well, I think the moment that really kind of shows that self-awareness that's problematic
yeah.
is some of the dialogue, which I believe you had.
Yes, there was
a great
piece on Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
11 lines from the Riverdale pilot I refuse to believe teens would ever say.
I believe I know what some of these are.
And this is like, it's such a Dawson's Creek show
yeah.
in that way, right? Like that is Dawson's Creek transposed to
yes.
the present, where the kids talk in ways that were completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So how many of the 11 can you get?
I figure I've got potentially 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 6 here.
Well, the counting is interesting, but why don't you give us a couple?
What do you got? I'm breakfast with Tiffany's, but this place is strictly in cold blood.
Yes.
Wait,
yes.
Again,
that's how Veronica describes Riverdale and herself. She is
breakfast
with
Tiffany's.
The town is in cold blood, which, of course, you know, comparing Riverdale to the novel about, you know, the serial killer murder.
Yeah.
Is a little harsh on Riverdale.
But perhaps pointing where we're headed.
But yeah.
But the idea that like teens, sophomores,
yes.
like. Or really read up on their Capote?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
not so sure.
Yeah.
Like, there's,
well, you know,
there's a chance hey, most sophomores in high school
haven't
read Truman
Capote. Read
Capote
and hang out with Toni Morrison.
Well, that's
that
true.
That is
that's true.
Fundamentally realistic.
Do you have a quote from Toni Morrison in there? Because that's one of them that made it here.
Oh, did it? Okay. Well, there were, I don't remember the exact quote, but there was Betty's, you know, when I was hanging out with Toni Morrison,
by
she gave
night,
me, like, this advice.
Yeah, by the end of the night, Toni Morrison, who is, as
and
you
the
know, is my
the,
literary hero,
yes.
said to me, don't rush this time, Betty.
Yeah.
It goes by so fast at your age. One summer can change everything.
Yeah, which I got to say, Toni Morrison should sue because that
yeah,
is a denigration of Toni Morrison. That is the most banal advice.
But it's absolutely true about what's happening in Riverdale because Archie
well,
was
convenient.
Lumpy and now he's ripped.
Yeah.
Summer changed
So yeah, so there's
everything.
That.
Yeah.
That and steroids.
The moment where... the whole, like, oh, is she Betty Draper season 5
oh,
or Betty Draper
yep.
season 1?
Very good. Yes.
I'm
that,
like,
that was
yeah,
because
you know what teens today do? They make references to Mad Men season 2 that was like 8
yep.
years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got the Mad Men.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wandering through a lost episode of Our Town?
Yes, that is on here as well.
Yep.
Because kids love plays.
Yes.
Especially old plays.
Already the Blue Jasmine of Riverdale High? Yeah.
Yep, that's on the list
okay.
as well.
Red-headed Ansel Elcourt.
That's on the list of the various nicknames the characters use for Archie, including Justin
yes.
Gingerlake.
Yes. I did kind of like
Prince Harry.
I did like Justin Gingerlake,
I liked Prince Harry. Teen Outlander, Ginger Stallion.
Oh, yeah, the Ginger Stallion
and
one.
Someone who's gone through an Efron-esque emergence from the chrysalis of puberty. That's pretty much how kids talk.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the other one that's got to be on there.
Yeah.
Can't we, in this post-James Franco world, be everything at once?
Can we liberate ourselves? You missed the middle of that.
Okay.
From the tired dichotomy of jock.
Oh, I forgot about the dichotomy part.
Can't
we
in this post-James Franco world be all things at once?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well done. We already talked about the lesbian kissing line. That was another one that was in here.
Yes. So is there, we've covered like 7 or 8 of
them. Oh, you got a bunch of them. There's one you missed that I think you're going to that hit Vulture.
Do I have any other quotes that...
There's one here.
Like,
I think you're going to love
it. Is it the one... there's the one about Archie's swell, but like most millennial straight guys needs to be told what he wants?
No.
Is it the one about Moose?
No.
Okay.
No.
Those are the ones that stood out to me.
Yeah. So it was Betty describing Riverdale High when she takes Veronica on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
I usually open this tour with a little history.
Right.
Some context.
Oh, historical
Riverdale
context.
High School opened its doors in 1941, to which the writer writes... or responds, no teen has ever cared about historical context. And I thought Patrick must love that, right?
I didn't see the Vulture quote is good.
Nobody wants context.
And then, I would maybe phrase it a little bit.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about historical context.
Not just teenagers.
Not just teens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I care.
Particularly in Trump's America.
Richard gets upset when you go political. Cheryl Blossom said, follow me on Twitter and I'll do the same.
Oh, yes.
My handle is at Blossom Cheryl Bomb. Bombshell.
No, Cheryl Bombshell, yeah.
But the writer said when she talked to youngsters, they don't really tweet anymore. They use Snapchat, House Party, Musical.ly, some new app you wouldn't understand.
Okay.
Fair, guys? Do you guys still tweet her a
lot? Whoa. These are a representation of common what teenagers do.
This is the best we can do.
I mean, it's them or me.
Yeah, right. So they're the best we can do.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Is that true or false? Do you guys tweet a lot or not?
No. I mean, my girlfriend is college. They only communicate through Snapchat.
Okay. Yeah. My son uses Snapchat all the time, but almost never tweets.
I don't have a Twitter, but I do Snapchat. So
there you go. So that's true.
We probably need to start Snapchatting so we can kill it for him.
We need to get on the Snapchat.
Is a little younger. Like, that's middle school, not like high school or college.
Wait, what's middle school? What's younger?
Musical.ly.
Okay. Yeah, Musical.ly is like Hope was doing that a couple years ago.
Hope does Musical.ly.
I don't even know what that is.
Hope was doing it like a few months ago.
You're the tech guy.
I am.
It's like music.
Wasn't Hope doing that like this summer?
2 summers ago, I think.
Isn't that the one where she's like doing lip sync type things?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was more recent than 2 years ago, dude.
All right. Well, if you say so.
Yeah, she was doing that like this summer.
That covers it.
So I did pretty well.
You did really well, actually.
No,
although, before you pat yourself too hard on the back, these were not particularly hard to get.
No, they were not.
Like they kind of punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Like the
breakfast with Tiffany's one. Which was, I think, the first one.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. People don't talk like that.
Yeah.
People don't talk like that, and people don't wear capes.
I love both. I love both of those things.
Well, that cape is fantastic.
It's awesome.
But what 15-year-old wears a cape?
Veronica.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So
I'm pretty proud of myself.
We're going to wrap up by talking about reviews.
Yes.
Yeah, you've made up for the slightly unethical by picking out lines.
I'm awesome.
So that was well
done.
Recovered. My first fair or foul was, like, is this really Archie meets Twin Peaks? But we've already covered that.
Right.
I think
we both
say foul. Like,
yeah, it's not. It's not.
All right. So what I'm pulling from is from The Verge.
Okay.
Their article on Riverdale.
Okay.
Which they said Riverdale is the most sense that an Archie series has made in more than a decade.
Okay.
Like, they're arguing that this really is a sensible kind of thing.
Yeah.
So here's the quote. Riverdale's contemporary high school setting is the most logical culmination of the Archie series' long and experimental past. A return to the youth culture the comics spent decades trying and often failing to capture.
Interesting. I would say fair, because I feel like just as the comics tried and failed to capture youth culture,
right,
there are ways in which Riverdale is trying too hard and thus failing to capture youth culture today.
I agree. I don't know how old Greg Berlanti is.
Yeah.
But he's been doing this for a long time.
That was my point about some of the dialogue reads like what a 40-year-old man thinks teenagers say.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure a 40-year-old man has read Capote.
Yeah. Let me say, like, I'm totally going to keep watching the show.
I'm going to stick
with it for
a bit.
It's better than most of the superhero stuff that I'm watching right now.
Let's not get crazy.
It is.
Yeah, it's not good.
Come
crazy.
On, Arrow's in a rut. Flash is like the.
But
most
you didn't even
watch
Supergirl last night.
You know, I missed the first season. I feel it's too late.
You chose The Bachelor.
No, Hope and Julia chose The Bachelor.
Whatever.
I just went along for the ride. And I couldn't believe they sent Taylor home. Like, that Nick sent Taylor home? Crazy. Now, I know Taylor's got issues, but anybody that's keeping Corinne on the show is keeping her on the show only for ratings. Do we all agree?
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of
like,
the
we're
show.
We're all in on that, right? Corinne is there only for
How
ratings.
How long have you been waiting for to do that today?
Not at all.
You had that
not
planned.
At all. I did not.
It's totally planned.
You provoked me. How would I know you're going to talk about The Bachelor?
So I've got another review.
Well, I've got another fair or foul. Do you want to finish this review first and then move to yours? Or do you want to pitch him back?
Well, considering you just did one, maybe I get to do one.
Fair enough.
I'm just thinking. Wow. I mean, you did your one on The Verge.
Why is he so cranky today?
You know, well,
you the Bachelor.
It's probably
just
the snowpocalypse outside.
There's
you
probably 2 feet out there right now.
For him. You didn't get a chance to watch it.
So Dana Schwartz from The Observer.
Yeah, I love Dana Schwartz's work.
Riverdale on CW
is
the most CW show to ever CW on the CW. And then she's got a list of the things that makes it the CW.
I could kind of see that, although... Like, the CW is so CW that it would be hard to outcompete some of the shows.
So some of the things she lists.
Oh, yours is really long then. Got it. So mine was, like, really brief, and you needed to have equal airtime.
Well, he's
and
the
now you're going to read for 5 minutes.
Incredibly hot and improbably old-looking teenagers.
Yeah.
Teenager murder.
Yeah.
A gay best friend that you just casually hang out with while you're in your bra.
Oh, I got that one right. Yep. Bingo.
Amazing fashion. That's
cape?
The cape.
Yeah.
A student having sex with a teacher.
Yep, that did happen.
Abs.
Only slightly unethical.
Abs.
Archie's abs. I'm just going to say, that guy's ripped.
Yeah. Parents who are in legal trouble.
Yeah.
Parents that flirt with one another creepily.
Oh, parents who have a past relationship with
Everybody
each other.
Everybody has a past relationship
that's
with each other.
Yeah. Yes.
This show set up so many mysteries, it's ridiculous.
Are they
Betty's
really
mom.
Though, or are they just like.
Oh, yeah, I've got a list.
Future plot complications.
I've got a
you
list,
would
of,
have
like,
a list.
I made a list of the various mysteries that are set up.
All right.
Would you like me to go through the list?
No.
If you want to.
No, it's fine.
Let me give you another one, and then you pick.
Okay.
Despite the wide range of topics, these shows, all of the superhero shows included, all the CW stuff, all share the same skeleton of drama-drenched pleasure romps.
Hmm. Yeah, that's probably fair.
I think it's totally right. Like, these shows are all the same.
Some of them are rompier than others.
At times.
Like, Legends of Tomorrow is about... It's pretty much just a romp. Like, the show just makes no sense.
Right.
They're just doing stuff to be doing
Flash
stuff.
Flash is like a sad romp.
Flash is, kind of. Arrow is kind of like an old romp. Like
it's kind of romped out.
Supergirl has a certain... Supergirl maybe is a little bit less rompy.
There's just a little rompiness to her, though.
They're, I mean, yeah, it does. But they are at least trying to deal with some, like, social issues and things.
Right. Yeah.
Riverdale doesn't feel like a romp to me yet.
Oh, it does to me.
No, it doesn't. Like, well,
it's all the mystery setup that you're talking about. Like, that's where the romp's going to come.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that it doesn't have kind of that Melrose season 2 rompiness yet.
But it's the first episode. Like, you can't go full Melrose episode 1.
I think they might have needed to.
You can't.
I mean,
you can't
look at
do
those
full
ratings,
Melrose.
They have
I think kind
you
of
never,
like the half Melrose they went with.
No,
feels
I'm going to paraphrase Tropic Thunder. You never go full Melrose on the first episode. You got to build to a full Melrose.
I don't know. I think we live in a much more fast-paced era than when Melrose was on TV. I think you can go full Melrose.
What has to compete with? It's got to go full Melrose from the gate.
No, episode 1 set the stage. I am confident episode 2 is going to be full Melrose.
Okay. I guess we will find out.
110% Melrose.
Yeah.
Pedal
if
the
not,
metal.
Not, it's screwed.
Melrose.
I don't know if I can handle 110% Melrose.
That
is a lot of Melrose.
I need to go back and watch those Melrose. I've not watched them for a long time.
Do you
think
they've
aged well?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure my sister has some of them on DVD.
I'm going to have to go buy them.
Yeah. I'm not sure that they're still in print. Which means you can probably get them for a penny.
Yeah.
Well.
Just go to the streets of New York.
But speaking of Melrose, it's why The Verge has it totally right. Their conclusion, Riverdale is camp for a young modern audience where you sort of love and hate everyone at the same time. It's my show. This is, if they do it right, it's going to be my show.
Yeah, my concern is the only tweak I would make to that is I'm not sure it's for a young modern audience.
It might be for us.
It might be for an old modern audience.
An old wannabe modern.
Yes.
So you're saying they're making it for me? I can live with that.
I think in some ways, yes.
I think they need more ratings, though, than just you.
That may be true.
Yeah.
Do you want to set up the mysteries? Because we're starting to press time. So if you want to set up the mysteries, we could come back to Riverdale for
a future. So obviously we have the death of Jason Blossom.
Who shot Jason Blossom?
Yes.
Oh, who shot, what's her name?
On Twin Peaks?
Yeah, what was her name?
Laura Palmer?
Laura Palmer. Who shot Laura Palmer?
Obviously, there's probably still more to find out what went on between him and Polly. And her sister, Betty's sister, who lives in
a
group home.
In a group home, yep. She's been driven.
Obviously, there's Archie trying to juggle music, football, work for his dad.
Teacher.
Archie and Miss Grundy's affair.
Yes.
Betty's relationship with her mom.
Yep.
There's the past to all of the parents. The Blossoms, the Coopers, the Andrews, and the Lodges.
Betty's mom and
all have a past with each other.
The Lodge kids, yeah. Right. Yep, yep.
Oh, old and the man, Blossom kids.
Old man Dylan.
Yeah.
And Hermione.
There's whatever's going on with Veronica's mom and dad, you know, that they're getting divorced. The dad's under indictment.
But that big sack of
big
cash
sack
showed
cash.
Up. Yep, there's something going on there. It's
and then you've got Josie and the Pussycats. And their
don't know what the mystery
fame.
Is there, but...
Well, mystery slash plot.
Why
like they're pursuing their fame.
Yeah.
What I found interesting is the one plot line they're not really setting up
yeah.
is the only one in the original comics, which is Archie choosing between Betty and Veronica.
Yeah. So let's say call Riverdale for what it is. It's a teen drama
mm-hmm.
so loosely based on Archie
mm-hmm.
that really they've taken some names from a comic book,
mm-hmm.
put them into a teen drama, and said go.
And also Easter eggs.
With the occasional Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe I won the Easter egg hunt today.
You did.
It never happens.
No, well, it's not a show that I am versed well enough in.
I did not want to, but it was like the comic book shop was kind of in your face.
Well, yeah, that wasn't exactly like subtle. But.
Hard to miss. Yeah, when you put Pep next to it, it just seemed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, final verdict. Richard, what do you think? Final verdict. You've heard us debate it for 50 minutes.
I think unless they do what you said and they go like 110 medals the next episode, it's just going to disappear. It's pretty not even going to make it through a full season.
That, what's that?
Pretty sure we both said that, but whatever.
Wow. I hurt somebody's feelings.
You're saying we both said that.
I thought you said it had to go, like this episode, it had to do it, and it's already missed its chance.
So Richard's saying it still has a chance. And I was the one that said it had to lean full in on
think
the Melrose.
Yeah,
that was my original point in Richard's defense.
Yeah.
You did bandwagon it, so I'm glad that you joined with me.
Yeah, well, okay, what?
Look at it this way.
Whatever.
You have not agreed with me.
What did we establish on the show yesterday?
Oh, no. Richard agrees
that
with me?
When Richard's on our
oh,
side,
I'm
we're
wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah, so you're so happy.
Wrong.
Yeah, so enjoy your wrongness.
Oh, I was so close.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. You did say it first.
Damn it.
It was totally your idea.
Oh,
I had nothing. I washed my hands completely.
I win again.
I was literally winning the entire podcast.
Oh, and then
Richard
and then, of
just
course,
Richard submarined
just,
me.
Just took it away from you.
So what do you think, Patrick?
About Riverdale?
Riverdale.
No.
I'm going to stick with it, but I don't know how long I'm going to stick with it.
I'm sticking with it. I've got high hopes. If I've watched Legends of Tomorrow for a season and a half, I can give Riverdale a while.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I'll give you guys that much. If you've watched Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, all this stuff.
Gotham.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah, like I'm
this
still
can't
watching
be
Gotham.
That much worse than those.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Gotham is the bottom of the barrel at this point.
No.
If it's worse than Gotham.
Flash would be there, except for the fact that Iris is soon to die. So there is hope.
There's hope that someone will die.
It's the only way Barry can atone. But we'll talk about The Flash in
another
episode,
show,
probably. Because I was thinking if we kind of did the wrap-up, it would kind of wrap up the show.
Mm-hmm. Which we've been trying to do for about the last 3 minutes,
I think. Been working on it.
Yeah.
Like, been working on the wrap-up, because I think Connor and Colin do not appreciate the professionalism.
Yes.
Which is really, guys, hidden underneath the surface. We act like we don't know how to wrap up a show.
At this point.
So people leave kind of chuckling about, those guys are really savvy professionals, joking about their inability to do what they clearly can do.
Yes.
They're just choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done now?
No, because we can't end on Richard.
No, yeah. When Richard gets the last word.
That is a fundamental word.
That is a fundamental
problem. Yeah, I was worried
problem.
When you turned to Richard like and asked him, what do you think? I'm like, that's how we're ending the show?
No, I was shocked,
too.
It's the final word with Richard Balvin.
Hey,
I
everyone.
Started with Richard because I figured that we would end with us.
Ah.
I was trying to be inclusive, but in a way that still made us the most important part of the show.
Yes. I agree. But I was a little bit worried there.
Yeah. But now we've done it like by saying it out loud, which makes me feel less good about it.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's what we always
subtly
do.
Subtly, by undermining
is
Richard.
We start to try to end the show.
Yeah.
We fail. And then we talk about how we failed to end the show.
Yeah.
And what we were trying to do.
It's
like,
kind
that's
of
our become
signature. Our
thing.
Guys, we stopped recording 2 minutes ago. So.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah, I'm totally kidding. But okay. Now you
oh,
guys
that's
can
a good
stop.
One. See? That's
hey,
how we
that's how we should end. Is Connor should just lie to us.
Hey, guys, the baddies are dead.
Connor's like, you know what? Like, I've actually got Truman Capote to read and stuff to do. Thank you very much.
I have to finish In Cold Blood. I'm only 2 hours into the 11-hour audiobook. I need my time, you know?
You guys got to get to work on it. So well, on that note, as Connor stands up and is literally like, you will stop this
Who are we to stand in the way of the young, hip people reading the things they clearly read?
That's right. So on that note, thanks for joining us again this week.
And we'll be back next week.
Until next week.